B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the program. It's hour number 3 of Felger and Maz, meaning it's the 4 o'clock hour. And as usual, we're joined in our Town Fair Tire studios by Christopher L. Gasper, the L is for Lee, of the Boston Globe. He's powered by the commuter rail. Hop on board this weekend and take the train for unlimited trips for just $10. Hit the slopes, go ice skating, see a game, or check out a show. Kids 11 and under ride free. So get out and enjoy some weekend winter fun. Plan your trip at mbta.com/mass by train and get tickets on the mTicket app. Felger family does this all the time. No joke on that. Gasper, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, babe. So what are you hearing from the Brady camp? What do we got?
Yeah, I just think that there's been a little bit of a softening of the stance here.
So you said this in our email chain, and I kind of agree with it. It kind of ties into what I was just saying about the Ben Volen column, about how he wouldn't want to come back here and face the Patriots and not get involved with that if he went somewhere else. But when you say you're sensing a softening from the Brady camp, what are you talking about?
This is unbelievable.
I mean, I just think that, you know, sort of you were hearing throughout the year, pretty much after the contract was done, that, you know, what we had talked about on the show. I mean, I was telling you guys all along that I thought the least likely thing was him coming back. Now I would say I think that's his first choice. And that's different. I'm sorry. I think maybe there'll be people there that try and characterize it as not being different, but it is different. I think there was sort of an element there of being frustrated and fed up, and you take these below market deals and you don't have the weapons and, you know, you want to get out there and kind of do your own thing. And I think now it's kind of like, well, all things being equal, if we could do something, you know, with the team, if they'll make a commitment, that's the first choice. That's the place I'd like to play.
Boy, that didn't take long.
I have no idea. I have no inside info or no gleanings like you might, Chris, but that's so him. It's just so him to kick and stomp in at the time. But then when the closer you get to the deadline, the more he backs down on it. He's done it his whole career.
He's already buckling?
Okay.
Or are they realizing that he might not have the market that he thought he might?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, look, it's not a done deal. I just feel like if all things being equal, I think his preference would be to come back here.
So,
and I don't think that was the case the entire season. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot of factors here. There's build, there's ownership, there's what other teams. If I had to guess, I'd say it's still going to go to a point where he can talk to other teams. Even though that's a big cap hit for the Patriots, but my understanding is it will not preclude them from signing him afterwards. If we get past March 18th and they have to eat that $13.5 million on the cap, that doesn't mean that they're out on him. And so, you know, he might try and get to a point where he can leverage them for years or better players around him with another team. And I do think there will be other teams that will be interested. I spoke to, you know, somebody in the league, an AFC personnel person of a team that could potentially be interested. And this person felt not only would his team be interested, but that there would be a lot of teams that would at least kick the tires on Tom Brady.
So, look, what he feels is really the most important thing, okay? But I have always felt, and I think you're similar, Mike, that if it worked out here, he'd prefer to stay. Like, so in some ways, that's not news to me, right? But I think if he's now all of a sudden feeling less combative, well, then if he's willing to take less, then there will be a deal. Like, again, as I said, if he comes back, somebody's balls are getting cut off.
Well, and he cuts them off himself, meaning he's when it comes to this stuff, Maz, he's not the competitor that he is on the field.
Sure.
On the field, he's a certain kind of competitor. Off of it, it's different with him. So this doesn't surprise me. But if the order of his preferences have changed, does that make it more likely that he comes back?
Yeah, I think it has. I think it does. I do think it makes it more likely that he comes back. I do.
And so he's going to have to take less than market, less than he would.
I don't think the money is, I mean,
it's the years.
It's the years, yeah. I don't think the money's, it's the years and who's around him. And I think that there's willingness to compromise. You know, the years, like it has to be 2 or 3 years. It has to be more than one. We all know Bill wants to do this year to year thing, right? So someone's going to have to convince Bill that this will be more than 1 year. But I think the money, they can work it out, particularly if there's a pledge, you know, to put the right stuff around.
Okay.
Him.
So, I mean,
Which we've all been down that road before.
Well, of course, right.
If he falls for that again.
He gives back money so they can surround him, and then they let everybody go. That's generally what happens. If Drew Brees comes in at $30 million and Philip Rivers comes in at $25 million, can Tom Brady stand being under 20?
Under 20? I don't think under 20 is going to get it done. No.
Okay. All right. So I'd be surprised if Bill thinks he's north of 20. I think he's going to have to take a cut off of last year. So maybe I'm wrong about that, but he made 23 last year. I think that number's going down.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what if you could do 2 years, $48 million?
2 years, $48 million.
So he gets $1 million raise.
I mean, is he going to show up? Is he going to show up in the offseason?
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a leverage point for Bill.
Is he going to be happy? Is he going to show up? Is he going to be invested? Is he going to be patient?
Well, he's always been invested.
Is he going to be, is he going to go back to winning the parking spot and working with guys and being patient? And, obviously this thing was a grind.
I'd be surprised if
it was.
Gave him
but, it's funny you say that. It was a grind. And I know we talked about it throughout the course of the year. But let me just ask you this. Whether you agree with what he was saying after some of these games or not, the season is over now. Was he right or was he wrong? In terms of what the body language was telling you, he knew after the Buffalo game,
sure,
that they were screwed.
Sure. I still don't like the way he carried himself.
That's fine, but he was right. I mean, we always get on athletes and teams for not being transparent or telling us the truth or sugarcoating it. He didn't do any of that. He let you know that they didn't have enough. And you know what? He was right. They didn't have enough. And it's not just him saying, again, I mean, I spoke to, somebody in the league who was pretty much like, this person said to me, you have a 42-year-old quarterback and that's what you put around him. He said, never mind. Forget the fact he's 42. Any quarterback who's any good, that's what you put around him.
Okay, this is a side argument.
So other people in the league look at it and are like, what are they doing?
Okay, so we can argue about this later. How he carried.
There's no argument. Professionals feel they to put around him.
Fine, but that's an excuse how he carried himself. You've still got to be there to work with your teammates.
He worked with them.
Not fully, not like
kissing their ass and giving a fake ass seal of approval to guys who can't play is not his job, Mike. Not his job.
Okay, can we please argue about that later?
Sure, because
I feel like you have news and insight.
Go ahead.
That's what I want to focus on. You now think he's coming back. When you've been telling us all year that was the least likely scenario, something changed.
Something definitely shifted. I can't tell you what, but it's shifted.
Well, that didn't take long.
Wow.
It's different.
So he stomps all year. He demands not to be franchised.
Yes.
He's going to go to market, And now we're not even to the divisional. We're Brady watch day six, and he's already flipped.
I think the feelings have softened.
So this is why he said hopefully unlikely. This is what the hopefully was. Hopefully they will actually give me the 2 years, and then I'll stay and I'll play. Unlikely that I'm going to retire. I think maybe that's what he meant. Pretty unlikely, hopefully unlikely. But I'll be honest with you. I'd be surprised if the Patriots have all of a sudden say, okay, we'll give you 2 years and guarantee it. Okay, if it's 1 year with a,
2 years, 48. Whose number is that? Is that Bill's number or is that Robert's number? Do you think Bill's on board?
No.
I think Bill wants to keep it year to year. And I think that's the single biggest stumbling block to this whole thing is Bill wanting to keep it year to year. And so the question is, it's a complicated three-sided negotiation. And at the end of the day, someone's really going to have to give in. And the question is, who is it? Is it Tom? Does he only play on a one-year deal? Is it Belichick who agrees to give him another deal? Is it, who knows? Do the Crafts have to sort of be in a situation where they maybe nudge Bill a little bit when they really don't want to?
Okay, let's go back to that. Because, again, you told us, and I'm not ragging on you, but you told us just a couple weeks ago and it said that this year is different. Robert, it's not up to Robert. He's going to let Bill make the call. That is a change from in the past.
Yes.
And Robert has empowered Bill, and now they're of one, and it's all about Bill.
I don't know if it's a change from the past, it is a little bit of a change, yeah.
Thank you, et cetera, et cetera. Right. Even that dynamic has changed?
No, I don't think so. I still think it's primarily Bill's call. But let me put it to you like this. If you're Tom, and this is just me projecting, this is not one to one, but if you're Tom and you have this great relationship with ownership, and ownership has mentioned on multiple occasions sort of the idea that, they view you as family, just much like maybe on the football operations side, they say, well, Tom has a tendency to cave. He'll cave in the end. If you're Tom, wouldn't you think that at the end of the day, the owner will ride to the rescue for you?
Okay, so you lost me a little bit in there.
Okay, I'm just saying,
you think Robert is involved?
I think there's the potential for that. And I think if you're Tom, that's what you're hoping for. Just like if you're Bill, you're hoping that Tom will ultimately just take the terms you present him with, that he'll take like a little bit less because that's what he's done traditionally. If you're Tom and you've done a lot of your deals with Robert Kraft and you have that great relationship, wouldn't you hope that he would put his thumb on the scale for you one more time?
Of course, Tom's
going to. Yeah, so that's my point.
He's hoping that.
So that's sort of the dynamic.
But is that really happening? Is that really happening?
I don't know. Because I don't know the answer to that. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that.
Yeah, but I'm going to glean that you think that's Brady's expectation. That the Brady side is expecting that at the end of the day.
We're hoping for it.
Maybe more hoping.
That they can get a deal done with Robert.
See, but you know what this tells me? Then he's not serious about playing somewhere else. And if he's not serious about playing somewhere else, he'll cave. I mean, really, again, that's ultimately what any negotiation comes down to. When push comes to shove, are you willing to walk away and go do something else? Are you willing to do it? And if Brady's not willing to do it, if that's ultimately...
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say he's not willing to do it, but
I'm reading into that.
Okay, but I would say...
I'm saying me.
Before, it was like at the top of the list, and now I would say it's at the bottom of the list. I think coming back, and really, and it used to be a three-option thing, right? We used to talk, you used to ask me the questions, and I would tell you, you know, I think, okay, you know, it could be retirement, it could be another team, it could be the Patriots. Well, retirement's off the table. So now there's two options, play for the Patriots or play for another team. And I'm out of those two options. I think, based on, you know, what I've gleaned, that playing for the Patriots is option one.
How does the McDaniels thing impact it? Does it?
You know, I honestly don't know.
In other words, if Josh
That might be
leaves,
a better question for, like, Tom Kern
if,
than me.
Why?
Well, because I think he has a good relationship with Josh.
Okay, but yeah. So, I'm talking about in Tom's thinking, in Brady's thinking. If McDaniels leaves, now Brady not only, again, has to work in new receivers, young receivers, whatever, he has to do it with a new offensive coordinator. Does that make this less... You know, less appealing to him, or is he past that? That's not.
Well, I mean, but if you look at it this way, I hear what you're saying, but I doubt they're going to change the whole system. Remember, you were around too. Remember when Dick Raybine passed away, and Bill coached the quarterbacks, so it's like Bill could go over to the offensive side of the ball and help. And the other thing is, if you go to another team, then you have a new coaching staff, a new offensive coordinator to begin with.
You're getting it either way.
Well, so wouldn't you rather get in a place where they're more likely to cater to you and you sort of know the... I just feel like, you know, as we all get older, right? All of us. Because at the end of the day, no matter how great an athlete you are, you're still a human being first. As we get older, we become more ingrained in our ways, more ingrained in our rituals and our habits. And I think you become more resistant to change. It's harder to adapt. And this is still a 42-year-old human being. So I think when you look at it that way, it's easier to make some small changes here than to make some massive changes. We all sort of fear the unknown a little bit, right? Yes, there'd be an unknown if Josh leaves. How does the offense run? Who's the play caller? But if you go to another team, there's a lot more unknowns than there are here, right?
Okay. Gasper's packing some heat today. He's packing some heat. There's been movement on the Brady thing. Just gleaning. Wait, you writing something?
Yeah, I already wrote it.
Okay.
Is it up?
Is it up?
Yeah, that's
a
great question. I don't know. I was trying to check while you were asking.
Let me check.
Did you write all this stuff?
Most of it, yeah.
Because usually then I do better when I can read it and then get my own inflections and sort of cut out the stuff.
Yeah, Nana needs to hold it and put his glasses.
No, but I mean, not just that. I can sort of massage it.
Spin it.
I can tell you it was filed. I don't know if it's up yet.
I don't think it's up yet.
You spin the crap out of it.
I can massage it to my liking. Okay, so Gasper thinks things have turned and Brady has... back down, for lack of a better term, or what?
I think his preferences have changed.
His preferences have changed.
Yes.
No, they haven't.
And the preference is now to return. And you think it's more likely than you've thought? You think it's more likely that he returns now than you've thought all year?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So there's that. Your reaction right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom, do you have a sense of whether you'll be back with the Patriots in 2020, and do you want to be back with the Patriots in 2020?
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously, they got it's the greatest organization, and you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years, and for Coach Belichick. I mean, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me. Just being with them. So I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like, and I'm not going to predict it. So I wish we'd have won tonight, and wish we'd done a lot of things better over the course of the season, but we just didn't get the job done.
John, I know that you keep saying that you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Is there any possibility that you would retire after this last season?
I would say it's pretty unlikely, but yeah, hopefully unlikely.
All right, again, Brady postgame on Saturday, which begins the Brady Watch. Chris Gasper in our Tom Fertitta studios here with the Boston Globe says there's been a softening on the Brady side in terms of what he wants. He thinks the priority is now to return to New England, wants to return to New England. He thinks it's more likely that it gets done than at any point so far this year. I consider that newsy. Now we can argue about the other thing that you wanted to argue about before.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
And that is, if he does come back, do you think things have to change?
Yeah, personnel-wise, definitely.
And that's what you focus on pretty much 100%.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to have like a legitimate tight end here and legitimate options other than Edelman, who will turn 34 in May at wide receiver. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. I think he has to believe that they can make those upgrades. And I think other people across the league feel like they should make those upgrades. Like, I don't know if you've seen this site, Sharp Football Stats, really good site, Warren Sharp. The Patriots finished this season last in the NFL in percentage of targets to tight ends, 9%. The league average was 21%. ESPN had this during the week, Jeremy Fowler. This year, Brady, he completed 59.3% of his passes to wide receivers. That was his lowest since 2004. And in the playoff game they lost, it was 4-15 targeting wideouts who were not Julian Edelman. You just can't go on like that. I mean, you can't. He's set up for failure. Like, you can't go on like that.
So my only question then, Chris, though, as it pertains to the personnel, I think that, I mean, I agree. They were short on personnel. It should have been better than it was. It wasn't. It's not all that, but that was a significant part of it. He had a hand in it, too. Given the history of how hard it is to incorporate wide receivers here, like, why should I think that that's going to change? Should Brady think that that's going to change?
I mean, I guess it depends on who the wide receiver is. I mean, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, or the tight end, Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski. Those guys seem to get it pretty quickly. Brandon LaFell was pretty good his first year. Brendan Lloyd was okay. I know people were disappointed in Cooks, but he had 1,000 yards. Like, I mean, it can be better than this, you know? I mean, I get it. They're not all going to be Randy Moss or Welker. But don't you think they could do better than this?
I just think that's a hard thing to handicap.
Unless you're going for studs.
What if you go get like Austin Hooper or Hunter Henry as a tight end? Like, maybe those guys aren't Gronk, but I bet you they're not going to be Scott Chandler.
Did you hear Curran's thing on his podcast they played on the midday before about how Brady was sort of getting boxed out of some of the game planning stuff and some of the, his input into the offense was diminished this year more than it has been in the past. Do you understand that to be true?
I've not heard that, but I have no doubt it's true if that's what Tom's saying, because he's, you know, super plugged in on that, so he would know.
And his point, Tom Brady, at his position, was getting some of the same. Do you have it, Jimmy? So this is Tom Curran on his podcast with Phil Perrin, NBC Sports Boston.
If you're the Patriots, you're not looking at Tom Brady and saying, how are we going to live without him? Because you have, over the last couple of years, kind of marginalized his role in the game planning and ownership aspects of what happens in the offense. That's part of the reason that Tom Brady has intimated so often in this past season, I just work here. I don't coach. He has been less and less a part of game plans, organization, play calling, and planning in the last couple of years than at any other time.
Why is that?
Well, as a player gets closer to the end than the beginning in a Patriots uniform, the team likes to become a little less reliant on him. And over the course of time, you know, I had someone mention to me that Brady observed that, look, I've watched a lot of players over the course of time come and go, and I know what it looks like when a player is being moved to the side and treated a certain way that kind of forebodes what's about to happen with him. And this was first mentioned in reference to Rob Gronkowski, and then it was kind of been mentioned relative to Brady. You move away from them, you give them less responsibility, you make them less a part of things in terms of planning, and it's easier to divorce yourself from that player.
Okay, so
and that's
a little
bit of what, you know, my understanding is has gone on with Brady.
Okay, you can stop it right there. So they've minimized his input in the offense because they're
for lack of a better term, showing them the door, right? They're,
sure.
They're rushing him out the door. So Bill Belichick has said Tom Brady's practiced less than he has in the past, so we've had to give Stid all these reps. And Brady says, well, people talk about me not being invested with these receivers and not getting the same page with receivers, but I don't have the input in the offense like I used to have. And he doesn't show up in the offseason. And Bill's not surrounding him with the right guys. And when Bill does draft a guy in the first round, the guy can't get anywhere near on the same page with Tom Brady. And when he signs this guy, he comes in and catches 12 balls the first week and then goes steadily downhill because he can't get the offense. And Chris, to me, there's something that's on the verge of dysfunctional with the relationship, and I think they have a decent relationship, but I'm talking about the way it all works there at Foxborough. And to me, that has to change. That has to change. The OTA thing is just a headline grabber, and I think it's really important that he shows up for that thing, but it really speaks to everything else, which is the operation down there. To me, that has to change. It's too hard for them to get new or young receivers up to speed in that offense. So that they either have to go get different kinds of guys, or Brady has to put in more work, or be more patient, or Bill has to give them a different, or they have to dumb the offense down. Something has to, that's what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Something has to change.
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, you start sort of with talent, right? I mean, we're not really sure that N'Keal Harry, and it's not fair to N'Keal Harry. I mean, he jumped on a moving train. We haven't seen much from him. We don't know yet. And again, I think you talk to people in the league, they'll tell you a lot of times you don't know what you have with a young player until the end of their third year. But with Harry and Myers, we're not sure if those guys are even NFL caliber receivers yet. Never mind ones who can fit into this system. Because to your point, we've seen guys that are NFL caliber receivers come here and they can't pick it up. But you have to be able to sort of figure out, and Bill's talked about this. He's talked about this relative to the draft, that it's a difficult position to project coming from college. So I think if they can have some more veteran talent next year, I think you get a much clearer gauge of where everybody stands. And I'd also say, to your point about the OTAs, you know, maybe someone looks at it sort of this way. You know, if you're saying I'm disposable and there's not a real commitment to me, why should there be the same commitment? If you don't have the same commitment to me that you've always had to me, why should I have the same commitment to you that I've always had to you?
I get it. That's got to change. We've got to go back to being recommitted on all sides of it. That's what I keep saying.
Yeah, if it starts spiraling that way, it's hard to come out of it.
That was so right. So they've got to reverse that downward spiral of decoupling and lack of trust or lack of commitment, and you won't do this, so I'm not going to do that, and you're not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. Well, you don't practice. Well, you don't let me work on the offense. Like, no. That's all got to start cycling back up in the other direction. That's my point, because I think, well, it's trended in the wrong direction, and they got away with it 2 years ago. They won the Super Bowl, but the offensive, you know, all this stuff sort of started then. I mean, it really did.
No question. So, again, the offense wasn't great a year ago. And so, I mean, I don't know how you interpret that stuff from Cameron on the podcast. I look at that more as, I didn't hear that they blocked him out of game planning meetings. I heard that when they made the game plan, they were less reliant on Tom than they were in the past. You follow me?
Yeah, sure.
And that in the actual game plan, they leaned on him, on Sunday. They leaned on him less than they typically do. And he viewed that as, okay, well, they're putting less on my plate, less on my shoulders, which, by the way, is what I think they should do. But nonetheless, that aside, I mean, I feel now, after listening to him, meaning Gasper,
yep,
I feel now like someone's going to cave, if not both.
I got my Brady watch. There's 68 days until the contract expires.
Yep, Chris came in and took a leak all over it.
No, all it takes is one, sort of below market offer, and all this.
You did. You took a leak all over it.
Well,
you ruined my Brady watch.
You completely screwed talk radio. You suck at talk radio.
Well done, Chris.
Good God. All right, the latest on Josh McDaniels right here in the update. Then we're.
Everybody's situation on the team is different. There are no two that are exactly the same. So, but the future is the future for all of them, just like it is for Tom and anybody else you want to bring up. And certainly Tom's, an iconic figure in this organization, and nobody respects Tom more than I do.
Do you believe that, Gasper? Do you believe no one respects Brady as much as Bill does? Do you think Bill's on board to bring Brady back?
I think he has a lot of respect for him. I do think that's the case. I do think there's respect between those two guys. And I think it's like everything with Bill. You know, if the price is right, sure. But what's the price? And I think he really does I think the hardest thing at this point will be figuring out the length of the commitment, because I think Bill really does prize the ability to go year to year. This is just a guess. I don't know. I still think Bill probably believes that his best chance to win next year is with Tom Brady. But it's not just about next year. You know, it's about how many years are you going to commit? Are you going to make a commitment for more than 1 year? Are you willing to do that when you haven't been willing to do it, you know, for the last 2 years, since like 2017, and going? You haven't been willing to do it. So unless something there changes, you know, but I don't think that he doesn't respect Tom Brady.
I mean, it is a fascinating situation, right? Because you've got Brady who wants the commitment. You've got Bill who doesn't want to give it. And in between is Kraft, who's got to pick a side. At the end of the day, Kraft has to pick a side on this. And whoever he picks against is going to be pissed. Because this isn't just a decision in the middle of the road anymore. This is at the end now. Right? Like, if Bill doesn't want to go beyond a year and Kraft intervenes, how's that going to work? You think Bill's going to be happy with that after losing Jimmy G 2 years ago?
So it's like, you know, here we go again. So I'm just waiting for Gasper's freaking column to post.
See, this is part of the reason I think everybody's better off if they split.
You think so?
Yep,
me
I do.
Too.
Jimmy G thing, by the way, might have been sort of overplayed over the years.
Okay, look.
Hold on, wait a minute. This? There's that little piece of news, too. Go. Give me this now.
No, I'm just saying the idea that there was a demand there, or that tacit or otherwise, to move on from Jimmy G has probably been overplayed.
Oh, God.
I'm not sure I believe that.
I don't either.
Yeah. You're being fed bullcrap from that case.
I'm just saying.
Taking care of somebody.
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you.
So what is that?
Just telling you the facts.
So what does that mean?
There was no mandate to like move on from the guy. Maybe the coach read the, you know, the tea leaves and said, I'm not going to get what I want. We can't strike a deal with his agent, who happens to be Tom's.
No.
I mean, if there was really any mandate to trade Jimmy G, it probably came from Don Yee, who's the agent for both guys.
Chris, I'm sure it was never said. Just like the mob boss never gives a direct order. He just talks about
just
that
know.
Thing, and you just know, and he looks at you, and you go, do it.
Yeah, no, I need you to make a trip to Akron.
Exactly, about that thing? No, the other thing. And then you go take care of that other thing. And it's never said, well, I never said that. I never told him to go do it. But that's so please, let's not rewrite that one. Or go ahead if you want. I don't care. Write something, would you please?
I did. I wrote it.
I put it on the Boston Globe website, and all I get here is a headline, 49ers fans loves Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, really love him.
Maz wrote that story. That was a freelance story by Maz for the Globe.
3 years ago.
Where's the Brady soft?
He said he didn't even need to be paid in that one. If they could just give him Jimmy G memorabilia, he'd be fine.
Where's the story that says Brady's softened his stance? Where's the story that says Brady's now more likely to return than he is to leave?
No, they got to put up more about Prince Henry and Meghan Markle. Come on, we want the Gasper column.
We get that story up so then we can then read the thing?
Prince Harry.
Well, I'm giving you the oral history, Felge, right here.
Okay, phones for Gasper here. Pete and Weymouth. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I don't look at this move as to whether or not they retain Brady in a vacuum at all. I view it as a direct continuation of the Jimmy G move, and I think it's philosophically inconsistent if now at this point they don't give Brady the 3 years, you know, whatever fully guaranteed signing bonus they need to do to make the cap work. But we all knew for, 5 years that Brady has been saying he wants to play till he's 45, and I don't understand how it would be a surprise to any of these great football minds that Brady might not be as good from 43 to 45 as he was as a 38-year-old. I think it would be a massive tarnish on Kraft. He has to do this because he's already stepped in once, and Bill survived, and he didn't go anywhere, so he's not going to this time. Ride it out with Brady. Give him the contract that, you know, the team might not for once get the best value on.
Yeah, but Pete, let me just tell you, do you think, I mean,
I disagree with that.
Well, I mean, I disagree that Kraft's legacy would be tarnished if they let Brady go. It's a tough business decision. They've been made. Ted Thompson, when he let Favre go, was vilified in Wisconsin. And like, how can you do this? It was a tough, smart, right business decision to let that guy go. And San Francisco, when they went to Steve Young, tough, hard business decision. So no, he's not going to be vilified, if it's the right call.
I also think, but he also said it's philosophically inconsistent if they don't now give Brady the multi-year deal. I think that's wrong. First of all, Brady's played 2 years since then. Okay, so they traded Garoppolo and they got two more seasons out of Brady and they won a Super Bowl. Okay, so like if they give him a 1 year deal now, that's not philosophically inconsistent.
Yeah, well, I understand what he's saying, and I actually agree with him. It's like you had this huge fork in the road, and you decided to go with Brady. So why would you then decide to go with Brady and then be noncommittal? That doesn't really make sense. So I actually agree with the call.
Okay, but again, this
if you if you were thinking about the long term, then you should have gone with Jimmy.
So how many years did you want him to get out of Brady 2 years ago?
Well, I think the expectation was, okay, Brady has outlived the succession plan, so now he's the quarterback for the foreseeable future. Let's make a commitment to that. That hasn't really happened. It's been this kind of year-to-year thing.
And you know what? I'm in favor of Chris. Everyone recommit. So pay him what he should be making, surround him how he should be surrounded, and, you know, no half measures on both sides. No more half measures. Like, if he comes back, that's what that has to be.
The best thing for them all is for split up now. I still believe that. I think that's the best thing for everybody.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. We'll get a quick little Celtics thought from Gasper as well, but mostly this. Brady softening is the very latest here on Felger and Maz. Back with you right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Felger here.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
You want to keep doing this through your mid-40s?
Yeah. I do. I've talked 2 years with my wife. I've negotiated that thus far. I still got a little further to go.
I play that one all the time because I think it's relevant to the timing. That was 2 years ago, Brady, Jim Gray. Brady says, I've negotiated 2 more years with my wife, so this is the end of the 2 years. And, you know, obviously, everything he has said, on the record, off the record, all the reporting, he's playing. So Gasper, has he renegotiated with G?
I mean, I don't know about that. It seems like he has, you know. But, I mean, if to be able to put it out there that...
Do you want to read your phone real quick? I mean, it's okay. You can do it.
That's all right.
Stop spilling secrets.
We know how the deal went down. Chris, read your phone. We know how the deal went down. Brady said to her, she said, Tom, dude, go ahead. Marie, what did she say?
I read my phone all the time.
She said...
I don't know what... I can't read your mind, Maz.
So anyway...
Do the Giselle voice, Maury. Dance.
Dance, monkey.
Brady said to Giselle, I want to play 2 more years. Are you sure you want to do that? And he said, tell you what, I'll buy you a new house in Greenwich. We'll get the hell out of Boston. You can live closer to New York and we'll get out of here. Deal. That's it. He bought her the house as hush money to shut her up for the next 2 years. And he's going to play football. There you go. That was the deal. That was the arrangement.
I definitely believe the house was like, all right, here's the deal. You want to be closer to New York. You're closer to your model friends, the modeling industry, and you're out of New England, which you hate. Here's the house. Now shut up.
I mean, I'm a lifelong Bostonian. I love the city, but seriously, Super G, she wouldn't wipe her bottom with Boston. Like
No. We're not big enough or fancy enough.
Please go to hell. You're not important enough.
We're not. We are. No.
Go,
these people
get
think
lost.
Culture is Kelly's roast beef.
Seriously.
Bud Light. What is Bud Light?
She looks at Revere Beach and wants to puke.
She's like, why do you people cut your shorts off at the knees?
Oh, God.
Like, why do you cut your jeans off
at the
knees?
She couldn't get out of here fast enough.
What do you mean? I think Super G would love to hang out with Billy Lanny.
She would blow
out, right?
Her nose in Boston.
Pepper each sentence with the F-bomb. They put tartar sauce on everything.
So, anyway, she had an Instagram post today.
Yeah, so, again, the photo is Giselle, I believe, in the backyard in Brookline in the foreground. Because, again, all the leaves off the trees, so it's not like they're anywhere tropical or awesome. So, in the backyard, Brookline. Sun going down, I think. Maybe it's coming up. Hell if I know. But it's shining, giving her some vitamin D, and she's like, oh, yes, the sun is shining on me. And it's a bunch of long-winded hippie nonsense. But the first sentence is the most important part. We are going through intense times in our personal lives and in the world. Yes, intense times in the world. Planes getting shot down in Iran. World War III on the brink. Koalas burning in Australia. All terrible. But the personal lives, that's the most important part. Going through intense times in our personal lives. What's intense in the personal lives? A lot of upheaval with Tom's job status. Is he going to be back? Are we moving? What the hell is going on? Very intense.
And there's, like, intense, you know, the deadline's March 18. So, like...
Time.
I'm just led to believe, again, with Gasper's stuff today, like, things are happening right now as we speak.
Well, they should be, though. If you're the Patriots, they should be. Like, you know, you don't want it to come to that. What are you going to do? Wait till the final minutes? And I know it's that deadlines get things done. But if they want the guy back, and I question whether they do, but if they do, What are you going to dink around with the greatest player in the history of the league, let alone the franchise?
And I just have to wonder if the McDaniels thing is related on some point, you know, like at some level. But we're going to bring the band back together for one or two more. You know, Josh Brady's back. We're going to load up. You come back. Let's run this back. Or, you know,
or maybe based on what Jimmy said, he wants him out of here. So if McDaniels is going to be out, okay, this is more palatable for me coming back to New England.
Okay, that would be crazy to me. Like, but, you know, Jimmy has believed that Brady and McDaniels have not been great this year. Maybe that ties in with Curran's thing about Brady not getting
That would make some sense.
So who knows? So maybe Brady, but so it's related in some way, shape, or form that the McDaniels thing, the Brady thing, maybe it's all sort of coming to a head, or, you know, it's just sort of ramping up behind the scenes on all those levels. I don't know. What can I tell you? But the 2 more years with Giselle, you know, clearly has been renegotiated. And maybe she's coming to terms with it. Maybe that's why she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I have to keep doing this. I can't believe I have to. I'm stuck here in freaking Boston with this stupid sport. Like, you know, and
maybe
she's like,
the pose is more about resignation.
She's like, no, she's like, oh, God.
Please, Lord, take me.
Dang it.
I have to keep putting up.
I thought we were done with this crap.
Husband and his stupid sport, and his stupid game, and these ugly fat people.
At this horrible city. Oh,
Everyone's complexion is gray. The sun never shines, and it's winter here for 7 months. Please take me. Take me away.
And that's what's going on. Yeah. Exactly.
It's more resignation. I'll buy into that. Yep.
It's resignation. It's not namaste. It's not. No. That's like, God dang it.
Find compassion and forgiveness within yourself. Think about purpose. That's all. She's just thinking about purpose. Eventually, I'll get back to Rio and away from these gray-complexioned, disgusting people who live for scratch tickets.
Seriously, she can't get out of here fast enough, right? Seriously. She's like Boston. I would pop a zit on Boston, for crying out loud.
Something's got to change, seriously. So it's fine. Load up. Load up for Tommy and give him, bring Antonio Brown back. Load up. Fine. If that's what it takes. But the slow, you know, the slow cycle down, is that's got to stop. They've all got to recommit. So, I've said that a million times. But because I think that current path that really started 2 years ago is not working. So they've all got to take a different path.
Although they did win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, right. So, but like I said, I think they got away with it. And, okay.
I thought you were putting a lot of stock in that, though. That started your facilitation tour, them winning the Super Bowl. Right?
We're coming to the Xfinity Center in June, the facilitation tour.
What do you guys want to talk about? No.
The facilitation tour started with that Bruins commercial. Let's be honest. Okay, that's when the facilitation
tour. Fair point, Felgi. Really that's started. That's very fair.
Yeah, thank you.
That's very fair.
Thank you. Summer tour. Coming to the Xfinity Center.
So what do you think, everybody? You guys ready for me to defer? Yeah. Maz, your thoughts?
I want to hear your take.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Boston?
Now I'm all distracted. What was I just going to say?
Grab ass.
What was I just going to say?
It's not going to work. They got away with winning the Super Bowl. That wasn't really indicative.
Yes. But the offensive problems did start that year. Okay. They did start that year. And I think today, this year was a continuation of what started last year offensively.
Yeah. And people are going to get tripped up by the hollow 12-4. Like, they weren't as good as what the record actually was. They weren't.
Oh, and that too. If they hadn't a bye last year, you know, maybe it would have ended just like this year. They were a game worse regular season wise last year than they were this year. This year, they just got the bye. And so, like, that was fortuitous. If they had a bye, we're still talking about a game this weekend, and who knows? If Andy Reid has to come here, you're still talking about the AFC. They might have gotten away with
it. What you're saying is why I wouldn't sign the Declaration of Doneness. I'll sign now, Jim.
Oh, yeah, of course you will.
I'll tell you, though, like, again, and I know I keep saying the same thing over and over again. The 2 years with Brady, and if you're asking me with respect to Brady's career, if they were to have a $25 million dead cap hit, okay, in 2 years, and Brady takes that money and goes, hey, good for him. He deserved it. Okay, if Brady gets some sort of parachute, fine. But I'm not convinced Brady can make it through a 19-game season anymore, and that is if you don't really play wild card week.
I mean, he played 98.7% of the snaps.
No. When I say make, but what did he look like at the end, Chris?
I mean, he had injuries, but he's out there.
But this is what I'm saying, is that he's going to be compromised at the end of every season now, more and more so. You know, I'm not telling you he's not going to play. That's not what I mean.
Okay.
I mean that at age 43 next year, what's he going to look like in week 16? What's he going to look like in the month of December and then in January?
Can I just read you a quote that's in my story, which I'm sure will be posted soon from an AFC personnel Please. Evaluator?
Yep.
So he's talking about, you know, the question essentially was, how much of Brady's decline this year statistically is due to just decline in his play, and how much of it was the people around him? And this particular person said, the O-line was a big question mark all year. Edelman's 33. You have no tight ends. You get an undrafted rookie in Jacoby Myers. You get another rookie in N'Keal Harry. What is he really throwing to? In my opinion, it's a combination of both. But I definitely think the guy is capable of going out there and being a high-level quarterback without a doubt. Most of the teams in the league would take this guy, not just because of who he is, but because of his current skill set. He can still play. He's not one of these guys where the wheels fell off and he can't play anymore. I wouldn't go there at all. He did not have a lot to work with, I'll be honest.
I agree.
So that's a professional opinion.
I agree with that too. I have not talked much about his decline or physical decline. I don't think there's been much. I don't harp on that at all. I harp on the other thing. The patience with young players, working with young players, showing up in the offseason, the functionality and the relationship between him and Bill and Josh and everyone being fully invested.
I know. I hear you, and I know we're never going to agree on this, Felgi, but do you think
that's where I spend all my time.
But do you think Matt LaCoste is a different player if Brady's at OTAs? Or Ryan Izzo? Is that the magic bullet? Is that the answer?
It helps, but probably not as much. I mean, probably not enough, but it's still wrong. It's still wrong not to be there. And it's not functional. It's not good for your team.
I just think you overplay that so much.
And it doesn't put you in the best position to succeed. It doesn't.
Chris, there's no way showing up for OTAs is going to make those guys viable play. It's just, I'm sorry. It's not. I mean, again, he was out in L.A. I always tell this story whenever I'm on the show. The year they drafted Hernandez and Gronkowski, I remember being there for like OTAs or whenever he showed up. He missed like some OTAs. And he was asked about the tight ends. Someone asked him a question, and he couldn't even remember their first names.
Yeah, I'm never going to change.
He could
my mind
not remember
this.
What their first names
I
were.
I was trying
and he went
to,
out and it was fine.
I was trying to agree with what you just read. Like, I don't think it's a physical issue with him.
Okay.
I think when he's, and I've been rooting for it. I want him to come back balls to the wall and you know, prove everybody wrong. I was hoping he'd be proving Bill wrong, because I'm ready for that story. But maybe we don't get it. Maybe we do. I don't know. Long way to go on this.
Interesting quote. Is it someone you talk to a lot that typically agrees with you?
I wouldn't say they typically agree with me. No, I would not. It's not someone that
I don't
typically
get what you're
agrees
driving at.
With me.
My point is, you can always handpick someone to say what you want them to say. If you want to criticize, and I'm not, I don't think Brady is cooked either. I think Brady can still play. If I were the Chargers, I would bring him in. And if I were Brady, I'd have serious doubts about the Patriots' ability to give me the kind of talent I might get in Los Angeles. Like, because they've fed him that line a million times. Part of me thinks that Brady's a bit of a sucker. Like, are you just going to believe everything they tell you, and then you're going to show up and they're not going to have the players again, and you're going to be pissed?
As competitive as he is, he's non-confrontational.
Correct.
Like, he doesn't like conflict or confrontation.
Thank you. I've been on that for a while. All right, yeah. Chris, thanks for coming
in. Compliment
in.
People on their hair, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, that's a whole nother story.
I know.
We'll discuss it some other time.
Yeah, find out more at the facilitator tour coming to the Xfinity Center this summer.
You guys want to hear this story? You're going to have to wait. What do you guys think?
Here comes the update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're back.